This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. This is Adam and I'm joined by Murray and Jack today from the Victorian AIDS Council. But first off, thanks to Nat for the morning news and to the Gazman for the morning show. How are we today, boys?
Doing well.
And I'm well, 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 as they say.
Do they say that?
Well, I do anyway.
You say that.
Yeah. Murray, you've been busy, haven't you?
Look, I have. I was here last week. I was on The Lady in the Camp, which is hosted by Brendy and Amy. And they will be, they're a permanent fixture. They have a show every Monday night now from 11 to 12. So tune in. They're a lot of fun.
Well, obviously, it's a very busy time around Melbourne. I think everybody's sort of talking about it in one way or another. And obviously, we're gearing up for AIDS 2014.
AIDS 2014, what's that?
What is that? Get out. So obviously it's the biggest international AIDS conference that's held in the world, and it's the first time, and it's being held in Melbourne, so it's going to be phenomenal. So in July it's all pretty much go at VAC, do you reckon?
Well, look, listen, I've been very busy with we've been running volunteer information sessions because we are recruiting an army of volunteers, around 250 at last count. So I've been running volunteer information sessions every Wednesday night. There's still a few more to go. So if you'd like to get involved, contact VAC. They're every Wednesday night, 7 till 8 p.m.
That's right. And we're all working for the success of the conference, which is why we're delighted to have two special guests with us today.
And who's that, Jack?
Well, known to many people, I'm sure, is Professor Jenny Hoy, who's an eminent clinician in the HIV world through her work at the Alfred and Monash, amongst other places, and the fabulous and slightly wounded Celeste Jennings of the AIDS 2014 Secretariat and coordinator of the Global Village and Youth Program. Firstly, welcome, Jenny.
Thank you, Jack, for that generous introduction.
It was a nice introduction.
Yes.
Now, 30 years is a long time to be around HIV, so that must take you back to the beginning.
It does. I'm in the fortunate position of having trained and been an infectious diseases physician since AIDS and HIV was first recognised and diagnosed. So back in the days of Fairfield Hospital when it took on HIV, where others in Melbourne were less keen to do so.
No, I remember those days. And back in those days, the VAC volunteer program was started too out at the Fairfield Hospital. But Jenny, you're a distinguished and highly experienced clinician in the medical research area as well, around HIV, 30 years down the track in clinical research and patient care. And some of our listeners would, in fact, be well known to you as well, some of our HIV-positive clients.
Yes, there have been several people that have been on that journey from the beginning until today with me.
So you've seen lots of changes.
There have been enormous changes from those early days where it was just so depressing, where we had poor treatments, we didn't know how to monitor the disease, we couldn't measure viral loads in those early days, we didn't have any treatment, then AZT came along. Mm. And my role at Fairfield when I returned from the US was to set up the clinical research unit, which did research into the new treatments, and as each new drug became available, we did clinical trials in that.
So there's been lots of progress since the 80s to, you know, 30 years down the track.
There has been enormous progress. There's been 36 new drugs developed in that time. And
wow.
And we've learnt a lot about the regimens. We can't just use one drug. We need to use a combination regimen. The early drugs were very toxic. They had very bad side effects. The newer drugs have less adverse effects, easier to take. There's combination pills. All in all, it's so much better today. And in fact, people can live almost normal life expectancies today with
That's
HIV.
Right.
It's a chronic, manageable disease.
Well, listen, that sounds fascinating, and I can't wait to get stuck into more conversation. If you'd like to get involved in what we're speaking to about today on Well, 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 you can like us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/well, well, well, or you can call us 1300 JOY 94.9. 0949, or you could send us an email at onair@joy.org.au, and finally send us an SMS on 0427JOY949. Actually, there's one more. You can tweet us at
We're going to be tweeting.
Today
we are chatting with Professor Jenny Hoy about AIDS 2014, the largest conference ever to come to Australia.
Absolutely, Adam. It is the largest. And Jenny, I understand that it will also be attracting some very important people.
Yes, Adam, we're very lucky that people like Bill Clinton, who is the director of the Clinton Foundation and, of course, past president of the United States, will be joining us and giving a presentation. He has been very important, particularly his foundation has been very important with keeping research and the HIV agenda right up there in all the resource-limited settings. He's able to engage with clearly important political leaders around the world. We also have Bob Geldof coming. He will also be giving a presentation on keeping HIV and the resource-limited setting on the agenda. Of course, we have some very important Australian speakers, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention them. Oh,
please mention them.
We have Michael Kirby, who will be giving a plenary presentation on HIV and the law. Of course, we have James Ward, who's a fantastic speaker, giving a talk on HIV and Indigenous populations, and our very own Professor David Cooper talking about HIV and antiretrovirals, where to from here. So there are loads of very important speakers. We have politicians from around the world and, of course, our own politicians involved as well.
And do they all happen in the official sessions, or does some of that happen in the Global Village as well? Because I know there's a stage there as well.
Yeah, so it'll happen in both. Plenary presentations will be broadcast into the Global Village, which Celeste will talk about in a little bit. It's a very vibrant space, very exciting space that I would encourage everybody to visit most days if they can. The plenaries are also going to be broadcast into Federation Square.
Great.
So the public will be able to listen to them there. So, yes, they're part of the program, either in opening sessions, closing sessions, or in other sessions through the conference.
Right.
Well, I think, Jenny, we're lucky to have you in our midst and working here back in Melbourne from the US. I know you've been back for a long time, but you're also one of those very important people in the HIV research and service delivery area. So we're glad you're here and part of AIDS 2014 as well. But tell me, what does AIDS 2014 mean to us from a clinical perspective?
So, for clinicians, AIDS 2014 gives us the opportunities to listen to others in how they've improved care through clinical research or through implementation science.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us the opportunity to start up collaborations with other researchers to improve outcomes for our patients and to understand what is exactly going on with a lot of the comorbidities that we're seeing in our patients today. There's lots of collaborations across social research, science, basic science research, clinicians, implementation, social researchers, all of it is really important.
Mm.
And the conference brings together all of those people.
It's almost, in a way, it's almost when because I'm doing the volunteer information sessions every Wednesday, as I mentioned, 7 to 8. But it's almost misleading in a way to say it's just a medical conference. It's much, much more, isn't it?
Oh, it is much more. I gave a presentation a couple of months ago about the conference, and it's an enormous conference.
Mm.
It's an enormous venue, and there are so many competing, interesting sessions for people to attend that you'll be...
Yeah, how do you choose?
It'll be difficult to choose what you want to go and hear, what you want to go and participate in.
And listen, for people that don't know, the app was made available yesterday, so you can go onto your phones and download it,
aids2014.org.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what are the dates, Jenny, of the actual conference itself?
The conference starts on the 21st of July, on the Monday, and finishes on the Friday, the 25th of July. But before the conference, starting anywhere from the 16th of July, there are a number of affiliated events. There are is a hepatitis co-infection two-day symposium. There's HIV in the brain. There's a cure symposium. There's a number. Probably about 30 to 40 affiliated events that you can also see on that website. Just go onto the website and you can have a look at the different affiliated events and you can register for them.
There's also the there's also the pre-conference, the Men Who Have Sex with Men Global Forum, which will be at Melbourne Town Hall.
Yes, and there's an enormous number of community events as well. Yeah. For people to participate in to cross-fertilise.
And what's the location of the conference, please?
The conference is at the Melbourne Convention Centre. Yes.
That's Jeff Shedd. Not to be confused with the Melbourne Exhibition Building, which some people get confused
it's in
about.
Spencer Street, yeah.
So it's I know there's also an Indigenous pre-conference conference.
There
so I believe
is,
that's
yes.
in Sydney.
And a pre-conference conference?
I know.
There's so many pre-conference conferences. I'm like, just call it a week of conference then.
Yeah,
it is. And there's a faith-based one, a Catholic one, HIV and Hep C, Indigenous, MSM. And for those who don't know, MSM is the acronym for Men Who Have Sex With Men, and that's being run in conjunction with VAC and the San Francisco-based MSM Global Forum, which is, what dates are they, Murray?
That's the Saturday and Sunday before the big conference. It's the Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th of July.
Yeah. So, Jenny, do you think that this is a great opportunity for researchers too? You're saying it's a great opportunity for everyone to get together. But is there any groundbreaking information or research that may be delivered at the conference that you're aware of? Or?
So, yes, there will be new research presented. There was a lot of competition for late breaker abstract slots.
Okay, yep.
And in fact, of all the abstracts submitted, the rejection rate was over 60%. So there's a lot of good research that didn't actually find a slot for presentation in the conference, which is very sad because there is a lot of great research happening out there.
And you were saying before that there's new treatments, and treatment as prevention is a catchphrase that we're all sort of working towards now.
It sort of says a lot about what was selected, though. It's pretty much the best of the best.
That's correct,
And so I guess if we're moving back to an issue that you touched on before about how HIV has kind of changed over the years with vastly improved treatments and outcomes, so how is this the case? Like, obviously there's social research, epidemiological research, clinical research, medical research. How does everyone sort of get together and sort of say, right, this is the right direction in which we're going?
Well, clearly the conference is the venue to do that. The conference is the place for people to get together and have people affected by the virus, people researching at a basic science level, at a clinical level, at a social level, at an implementation level as well, to get together and talk about what is the most important issues to those that are affected today. Where should we be going with this? And clearly the cure is the ultimate dream. Hope it's a reality in my working lifetime, because that would be very exciting to be able to go from the first diagnosis to cure. I'm not sure
that gives me
happen.
Faith. That gives me faith that you're optimistic. You're maybe cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll have that cure. And when you consider, in my lifetime.
Yeah, and when we consider the changes you've seen in 30 years, they're enormous. And I remember the old days where you'd take dozens of pills, some before food, some after food, some chilled, some not chilled, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it's quite a different ballgame. Now, Jenny, just before the break, you were saying how it's a different landscape now compared to a few years ago. How is that manifesting itself in regard to perhaps some challenges that it may bring?
So the challenges for us today are that we expect everybody to be able to take the treatments, which have less adverse effects than, say, even 5 to 10 years ago. But despite that, and despite having a normal life expectancy, individuals still have chronic inflammation because the virus isn't completely silenced. And that chronic inflammation is manifest as other age-associated illnesses like atherosclerosis and heart attacks and strokes, like bone disease, like liver disease, kidney disease, and what we're seeing a lot of at the moment is cancers that are not related to immune deficiencies.
So you're actually, I understand, giving a lecture about this actual topic in the lead up to the conference.
Yes, I'm giving a public lecture called Living Well with HIV, The Challenges Ahead. It's on the 10th of July at the AMREP Centre, which is at the Alfred Hospital. There's a large lecture theatre.
It's a beautiful lecture theatre.
Yeah. And that's at 6 o'clock there, and I'll be covering all of the challenges that we have today as clinicians and as individuals with HIV, learning to live with some of these age-associated conditions that are occurring more frequently and trying to prevent them.
Are they adequately recorded, because it manifests into something else? So then is it put in the box that it's something else, or is it the cause of it?
Yeah, so we are recording it. We do have epidemiological studies that support an increased rate of these age-associated conditions. There was a term called premature ageing, which is not as commonly used today, because the population affected by HIV is almost in a very narrow age range rather than like the general population. So we know that they occur at an increased rate for that particular age range. And we need to pay attention to some of the things that we didn't pay attention to in the past, like smoking and a healthy diet and exercise, things that the general public have had to pay attention to for many, many years. But now we need to do that with our patients.
If you'd like to know more about this information, Jenny will be talking at this public lecture at the AMREC Theatre. You can call 9903 0026 9903 0026 and speak to Julia for any inquiries in regard to the challenges of living with HIV. Thank you, Jenny, very much for coming along today.
It's been amazing.
Thanks, Jenny.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.